I mean, here's a guy that criticizes everybody, whoever they take. He's got the answers to who you should take and who you shouldn't take. And all of a sudden, he's an expert. He's in our papers 2 days ago telling us who we have to take.
Welcome back to The First Team. I'm Joe DeLeon here with Ryan Roberts, NFL draft analyst and my good friend. And today we're going to be doing another 2025 Scouting Report episode. We're going to be breaking down the two top receivers for the 2025 NFL draft, that being Teteroa McMillan from Arizona and Luther Burden from Missouri. Ryan, I want to start with Luther Burden here. He is a very exciting watch. He is not on the same plane as Marvin Harrison Jr. That needs to be brought up because I feel like in the early cloudiness of everybody just spewing their rankings all at once the week after the 2025 NFL draft, a lot of people found Luther Burden within their top 10s, their top 5s, which I can totally get on board with. But I feel like Luther Burden, we just need to start this conversation before we get into the strengths and weaknesses by saying he's a very good prospect, but I just don't think that he's a Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. level of elite as some people have maybe depicted him to be.
Well, he isn't right now, but yeah. Here's the great thing about summer scouting, right, is that this time last year, I wouldn't have said that Malik Nabers was a top 10 pick either, right? Like he was a first round-ish wide receiver. He was still very good, and you still saw the upside. He was in my top 5 receivers. I think he was at like number 3 or 4 in the preseason last year. So I liked Malik Nabers, but Malik Nabers, this offseason, getting ready for the 2024 NFL draft, and the season before his junior year was not quite Malik Nabers, in my opinion, right? So I think we need to understand this when we're talking about summer scouting, because people are always going to go back to clips and they're going to find receipts. They're going to do all this type of stuff. Things change, man. Things change. But yes, in a vacuum, if there was a, and God forbid this ever happening again, but if there was a COVID impacted season, like we saw with Jamar Chase, right, where he didn't play his final year, Luther Burden in a vacuum would not be the same prospect as Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers last year. Now, that being said, he would still rank pretty dang high because he's got a lot of dynamic ability that we'll talk about here. But yes, I think in a vacuum today, he is not in that conversation. But who knows what he can accomplish this year at Missouri as a true junior. Because we got to remember, my guy's only 20 years old right now, Joe. Like there's still development that's going to happen. He doesn't turn 21 until December. So there's still a little bit of time and a lot of games to be played, a lot of evaluations to be done before we have an absolute understanding of what he is in the 2025 NFL draft.
Now, that 20-year-old was one of the top receivers in the SEC this past year. He was an important piece for Missouri's success. This is probably one of the worst cliches that we see on a yearly basis with every single draft class. But I think if anybody fits the Deebo Samuel description, Ryan, I actually think it is Luther Burden, in all seriousness. 5'11", 208. The thing that really, really stood out to me is one, he's built like a running back. Like 208 pounds is big for a 5'11 receiver. That's a big, strong, hard to bring down type of a body. He is great after contact. He is a really sudden cutter. He's got really good burst in and out of his cuts. I just really love the body control and almost the, he's almost one of those guys who just keeps barreling through and barreling forward to pick up extra yards. So again, I know that it's cliche that we talk about Deebo Samuel, but the way that I see him being deployed in the NFL is similar, not to the version of Deebo that when he was playing like that hybrid role, now he's a little bit more of a receiver after his contract negotiations and complaints. But I think the current version is more reminiscent of what Burden could be.
I think it's kind of unfair to watch some of his highlights. Like, forget about the game film for a second. If you pop on just like Luther Burden, like highlights on Twitter or on YouTube or something, one of the first one that pops up is, I don't know who the maroon team he's going against. I feel like it was like Missouri State, but I could be completely wrong. It was maybe Troy. I don't remember, but it was a maroon colored jersey. And he broke through like 6 arm tackles into the end zone and like trucked some dude right on the goal line. Right. And it's like, it's not fair. And it's just a little bit, it's just, I felt bad for that poor young man that got carried into the end zone by Luther Burden. But Joe, I think we saw this coming though, right? I mean, we saw it coming. He was only the third. Here's a cool little tidbit. He was only the third Missouri player ever. Well, third player ever go to Missouri that was a consensus five-star recruit. So everyone knew who yeah. Luther Burden was coming out of East St. Louis in Missouri, right? So like everyone knew him, stayed in state, went to the University of Missouri, had kind of a slow first year at Missouri because their offense kind of stunk the year prior. Like it was not very good. And he was just kind of misused and not used well enough, shows himself as a punt returner, but wasn't incredibly productive as a freshman. This year, over 1,200 yards, has a big time season. I hear your Debo comp, but I think I told you this one that I had a comp.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
I have it written down. Yep. Golden Tate is the guy that I see. Golden Tate. Golden Tate was the same body type, like 5'10", 5'11", 205, 208 pounds, somewhere in that ballpark. Same thing they were talking about Debo, though. After catch, pinball, breaks tackles, short separator. I also, and one thing that we underrated about Golden Tate coming out of Notre Dame and then eventually turned into a really good receiver for Detroit specifically was Golden Tate had some speed too. Like he had some separating speed as well. And I think Luther Burden has that as well. Like he does most of his work, short, screen game, after catch dog. But then there's an occasional one where he'll hit a double move or he'll separate deep on a deep post. And you'll be like, okay, he's got some separation speed as well, but he is an underneath separator yak dude that has that little bit of nuance to his game as well to be able to press vertically as well. So he's kind of a guy that for me is a two-area separator right now. He's a short, elusive guy that can break tackles, and then he's a deep separator. So those are kind of the biggest niches that I see in his game right now, and he obviously has a big dynamic ability after the catch in the punt return game. He's a killer in space is kind of the biggest point here.
I think generally, too, and this goes in line with his strengths, I don't really have a ton of weaknesses for him. Like he's pretty far along for a second year play. All right, what are the two weaknesses, and I'll kind of round out my thoughts on him.
Sure. So I think that for me, he is one of the better athletes that's on the field at all times, right? So I think there's a natural thing that you want to see from a sophomore to junior progression is I just want him to be a little bit sharper of a route runner, right? Like there's some routes where I just think that he just kind of eases out of his breaks, more of a speed. You know, a speed break than a guy that's actually putting his foot in the ground and accelerating.
He's almost almost kind of like a blasé route runner because he runs routes like a high schooler sometimes, which is good and bad. Mm-hmm. You can tell that he knows he's the best athlete on the field at times where sometimes he is very lackadaisical, like you're talking about. He's got this very relaxed approach, which I like when I'm just evaluating someone's demeanor, but like you're talking about, he needs to be much crisper on some of his routes if he wants to take that step.
Yeah, because he doesn't have a big catch radius, right? He's a little bit of a smaller guy in that sense. I know he's a thick guy overall as a player, but like just arm length catch radius type of guy is a little bit of a smaller dude. And when you get to the NFL, why it matters is on the next level, corners and safeties are going to get bigger. Linebackers are going to get bigger. Passing windows are going to get smaller naturally, right? So just having that little bit of nuance of, yes, you may have separated by a yard there, but if you have a sharper break, maybe you separate by a yard and a half, and that could be the difference between creating a big play and a ball getting batted to the ground, right? So like those little nuances, I think, are a thing that he can take a step forward. The other thing that I noted was this is more on intermediate and deep balls. He doesn't extend all the time for the football. He's a little bit of a body catcher at times, which, again, when windows get smaller, athletes get bigger and stronger that you're going against, that worries me a little bit. It does, right? If a guy can't fully extend and play outside of his frame consistently, I do get a little bit worried that that ball that you had a yard of separation on is now a contested catch where you're a body catcher a little bit, right? So I just want to see a little bit more of a natural ability down the football field to use his hands and utilize his ability to play outside of his frame. The body catching was just something that I had noted that I would like to see that cleaned up a little bit heading into 2024.
I see those concerns, and I think that just generally my overall thought here for projection, he's very unique. There's not a lot of receivers that come into the NFL that are built like him, play like him, and this is why there's really only two good examples that we can use for comparisons. Debo Samuel, Golden Tate, maybe a nice blend between the two of them. There's really not a lot of other guys that we can pull from, and maybe Malachi Corley right now has
Malachi
been one,
Corley, baby. Yeah, King.
One who's been compared to Deebo Samuel recently. I see him, I give him a top 25 grade. So mid first round, late first round grade. Mm-hmm. I really do, as you mentioned earlier, Malik Nabers was somebody who was on our radar, but necessarily wasn't a top 10 pick during last summer. He has every capability to increase that draft stock, and he probably will, assuming, which is very likely, that the SEC doesn't go ape trying to slow him down and his stats take a huge step back because maybe for whatever reason he wasn't ready for whatever is going to get thrown at him. I don't think that's going to be the case. But top 25 for me, I take him in the middle of the first round. I don't think I would do the Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, take him in the first six picks, but I would totally draft him at like 12 and not look back, knowing that I'm getting a pretty dynamic playmaker to add to my offense.
So my 9-point scale, I have is an 8.5, which is also a mid first round grade. So I'm comfortable right there.
Send me your damn scale, by the way, because I thought we were trying to be on the same scale. I sent that to you like two years ago,
and you still haven't checked it out. So it's fine, man. It's fine.
You did send me that two years ago.
I did send it to you. I literally did send it to you.
Yeah, but I gotta go dig for it. You told me you were gonna send it to me a week ago. Okay.
You asked me to send you the Blesto report. I sent you the Blesto report. You haven't talked to me about the scale. Anyway, mid first round player. I would be comfortable as of today drafting him somewhere 15 to 25. Like that would be more my bread and butter as far as where I would value a Luther Burden in a potential draft in a vacuum. But I do believe, one, he's the best receiver I've watched so far. I still have a few guys I need to get through for a full dive into wide receiver week, but he is the best one that I've watched so far, in my opinion, with the probably the clearest outlook is the best way to put it. And I would also say that I do think he has the potential, if he takes a nice jump as a junior, which is very possible because, again, he doesn't turn 21 until December. So the majority of this season, he'll be playing as a 20-year-old player in the SEC. There is an opportunity to rise here, and I think that he could be a top 10 to top 15 pick when all is said and done. I think that reality is definitely on the table for the Burden. It is going to be interesting, though, Joe, because Missouri went into last year with nobody talking about them. I think they were picked to finish like second worst in the SEC last year before the season. A lot of people had Drinkwitz on the hot seat and for good reason for the couple prior years before that. Missouri, after winning double digit games and doing what they did this past year, they're not going to sneak up on anybody this year, man. Everybody's going to know who Missouri is, right? So when I watched the film, I was like, man, I think there were a little bit of smoke and mirrors at times. I am not a Brady Cook guy. Did not think Brady Cook was a very good quarterback, to be honest with you. And now they have the targets on their back. So I still expect Luther Burden to be a very good player, but I'm very interested to see just how much he is able to improve on a team that I don't think the Missouri Tigers are going to sneak up on anybody in 2024. So it's going to be very interesting to see just how, if that team at all is able to have any type of sustainability. That's going to be a question.
See, now I'm all distracted trying to find this grading scale. You got to resend it to me because I'm not going to be able to find it.
I took screenshots of it, so I'll just text it to you, and hopefully you don't lose it that way. Yep.
Okay. Probably won't. All right. BetOnline remains your top spot for all of your live betting action and contests. NFL, college football, UFC, NHL are all in full swing. BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions with both desktop and mobile access at any time. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV for 50% off your first deposit. That is a 50% welcome bonus. Bet online, where the game starts.
Talk about Teteroa McMillan, the tall. Talk about like two completely different players, Luther Burden to Teteroa McMillan.
McMillan for Arizona stuck around. A lot of people thought that he would end up leaving. He would go elsewhere because of Jed Fish heading to Washington. 6'5", 210. You always have good background. Do you have any background notes before we get into his analysis?
Very very non-typical player that goes to Arizona, Joe. On the Rivals ranking coming out of Servite High School in California. He's a Hawaii native that played his high school football at Servite in California.
He played with Mason Graham.
Not only did he play with Mason Graham, he also played with Noah Fafita and the Manu kid that plays linebacker for Arizona as well, number 5. So he had a very talented team at Servites when he was there. one of the few players, I don't know how many there's been, but he was a five-star recruit coming out of Servite, was ranked as the number 12 overall player by Rivals and a five-star. So you don't usually say five-star Arizona football. You might say Arizona basketball occasionally with a five-star, but you don't say Arizona football ever. So he was a big-time recruit. Again, same class as Noah Fifita, who is obviously his very good quarterback there. Like you said, he played with Mason Graham at Servite as well. So five-star to Arizona, to All-American as a sophomore. He was a freshman All-American after a 700-plus yard season in 2022. 2023, over 1,400 yards this past year for Arizona. So a dynamic football player who's probably going to have one of the most overused comps out there, I would say. The most overused comps.
Brandon Marshall, Drake London, Keon Coleman.
Drake London. It's going to be Drake London because West Coast, 6'5", more sleek of a and a better route runner than you would think he would be at 6'5".
Yeah.
Like that's going to be the guy that he's comped to, 100%, Teteroa McMillan.
So for those who remember when we did Keon Coleman summer scouting and also during last year's evaluation process, I was really juiced up by Keon Coleman. And the same thing is happening here with Teteroa McMillan. Really, really love guys that are able to move at this size, that do this whole post up, box out, win in the air, jump ball type of a player. Because you know what? At the end of the day, as much as people like to go, oh, N'Keal Harry didn't work. Screw those people.
I mean, they're not wrong that he didn't work, but yeah, but it doesn't mean that he's them. Yeah.
He also was overdrafted. He wasn't as good of an athlete as these guys that fit the Brandon Marshall, Drake London, Keon Coleman. He wasn't as good of an athlete as those guys. And he's kind of hurt this prototype of receiver when we have these conversations. But McMillan is everything to that description. He is, as you mentioned, very underrated route runner for a guy who is 6'5" and over 210 pounds. He's able to get pretty cleanly in and out of cuts. I think that his route running is probably one of his strengths because of just how easily he's able to create separation for himself on those cuts for his size. But we know what the biggest trait here, man. It's the play strength. It's the hands. His film is littered with a number of plays where the ball is just tossed up to him. And Noah Fifita says, all right, I'm throwing you an alley-oop. Go up and get the football. And he goes up.
He boxes guys out,
and he goes and grabs the ball out of the air like he's about to take it to the rack, and he's going to slam that thing home. So I love the way that McMillan plays in the air, and it's exciting to know what he could bring to an NFL offense to be that third and long, we need to get the ball on the sideline, throw the ball to the sticks with 2 minutes to go. We need the ball back corner of the end zone. We're going to throw you the ball. No DBs are going to be tall enough to jump and be able to contest this thing. So that's what I think about Teteroa McMillan, who is phenomenal in the air.
So if you remember my thoughts on Drake London, I was a big Drake London guy. Really, really liked Drake London. And I think that Drake London showed a lot of signs his first 2 years, and I expect him with a good quarterback now in Kirk Cousins, at least from NFL standards, to potentially break out and be the guy that we think that he can be still, because he's still a younger guy. There is a cautionary tale, though, here, Joe, because you're right. Just because there have been failures in the past, and N'Keal Harry, you can say other guys like Laquan Treadwell, like there's been some other Corey Davis to a degree, he was okay, but Denzel Mims, like there's some bigger body guys that ended up not being great players, obviously, because we need to be careful with the big body pass catcher thing in today's game, right? Because again, contested catches get a lot more difficult. So if you're talking about a guy that is just a dude that's going to win consistently in the air, that's a little bit of a cautionary tale. But the reason that I also like Teteroa McMillan, it sounds like you might like him a little bit more than me, but I still like him a ton, is because he is a very good route runner. He is, for a guy that is listed at 6'5 and 210 pounds, you would think that he'd be a power explosive guy, but he's not. He's a smooth, sleek kind of mover, right? Like he gets in and out of breaks exceptionally well. He understands how to plant and how to attack blind spots. He has a little bit of a smaller man's game as a route runner, as a technician before the catch. But then the thing that you see, I don't even care about the contested catches that much, because you're right, he does have those on film where he's able to win above the rim. But it's even as simple as a deep in cut where the ball is maybe a foot or two, a little bit too high, and he's able to just extend, show that catch radius and win outside of his frame with incredible hand strength, man. Like, I really like the intermediate upside of this young man, running deep ends, running deep outs, running comebacks, that big frame to win outside and to be able to fend off opposing defensive backs' bodies as well. That, I think, has tremendous upside here, right? I think that that is a big thing that I really do like. So, yeah, he can win the contested catches, but he can do the little things, and he is consistently plays outside of his frame as a pass catcher. Nothing gets into his chest. Nothing gets into his body. He's incredibly clean as a receiver, which I think is a very impressive thing to talk about.
It's almost lazy to say this for it's almost lazy to say this for a big receiver, what their weakness is. And you can probably guess where I'm going with this, because it's the same thing that got brought up with Drake London.
He's not fast.
Yeah, the long speed. I'm curious.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's like, it's fine. Yeah.
It's something that is going to get over-evaluated, and it got over-evaluated for Keon Coleman. Everyone was saying, oh my God, he ran in the 4.5s. Okay. He doesn't, that's a fast time for Keon
4.61. But yeah.
Was he a 4.61? I thought he was low 4.5s.
4.61. I think he ran 4.5 some at his pro day if he ran it there. But yeah, 4.61. Yeah.
McMillan's probably going to be in the 4.6s because he's bigger than Keon Coleman. He's about the same size as Drake London. He's a big dude.
4.58 to 4.62 estimated, somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah, I'd be on there.
He's not going to run a 4.7, but you can see that it takes him a little bit to get going. And, you know, it takes him a bit to get to the top end speed, and there's really not much of a top gear. That's what the concern is going to be with him, and I'm making note of that. That's one thing in summer scouting that he's probably not going to fix. That's not something that's going to change in an offseason, that he's going to suddenly become faster in this period of time. So that's probably the only like really glaring thing for me, because everything else he does, he plays the role that he needs to play, the X jump ball, secure possession receiver role. He plays that extremely well. He just doesn't have that top gear, and that might hurt him in creating separation on some of his deeper routes.
You'll hear me talk about this with running backs, but I think it's the same here in this scenario, in this occasion, right? Is that some players are just one gear players, right? They play constantly at this speed, which is a good speed, but then when they have to separate vertically or down the field, that second oomph, that second pop to be able to separate from the corner last second, just doesn't really have that, right? So the big question here, Joe, and it's not a bad thing necessarily. People think of this as a bad thing, but I don't think it's a bad thing. Does he have enough speed to separate consistently outside, or is he a guy that has to play a lot of big slot at the next level, which I think is going to be some people's question marks, right? And I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that whether you're in a big slot or you're an outside receiver, depending on where your offense structures and runs, both can be very valuable. I will say this, the one thing that holds Teteroa McMillan back for me as far as a full evaluation, though, is, you know me, my bias, right? My bias is that I value players that can do more, right? So I value a guy that can play multiple spots of wide receiver, that can play all three spots as a wide receiver. I'm not sure if McMillan is that guy. McMillan might be a big slot at the next level, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that. Amon-Ra St. Brown is a slot in the NFL, and that's all he plays. Doesn't stop him from catching over 100 passes a year and over 1,000 yards, right? Like, that's still incredibly valuable. Keenan Allen's the same way. These guys are still slot receivers, but what I'm saying is that there's a separator between a good and great receiving prospect and a great and elite receiving prospect for guys that can align up and be a little bit versatile as far as being able to align across a formation. So that's the only thing that's going to hold McMillan back for me personally, because I do have questions. Can I throw him into the boundary and him beat one-on-one coverage consistently? I have questions about that. As a big slot receiver, I got no questions about that, man. He could run routes. He can finish through contact. He plays with great hand strength, great physicality. He can do that work. Can he do the other stuff? That's the biggest thing I'll be watching this year for Teteroa McMillan. Can he play outside consistently, and can he win consistently outside?
And with that in mind, I have a mid to late first round on him, but I think it's probably very likely that he ends up going in the beginning of the second round, just because of the track record of these types of guys. Other players are going to emerge ahead of him. There's a lot of speed, man. There's a lot of speed.
There's a lot of speed
in this receiver class that's going to get pushed up ahead of him. He's probably going to go in the beginning of the second round, but I have a late first on him as my grade.
it's interesting how some guys rise and fall a little bit, right? Like Keon Coleman runs a little bit slower. He falls into the first pick of the second round or first pick of the second round. But then Drake London was the first wide receiver taken in his draft, right? And he's kind of a similar profile. So he was a top 10 pick. So it's very interesting just to see how development happens. But I think the one thing that Tetero McMillan does have working for him, again, I am still need to get through a bunch of guys in the wide receiver class, Joe, but I'll be honest.
It's not a very good class.
It's not knocking my socks off right now, dude. Like, there's not a lot of wow dudes for me right now. So maybe he's going to be good and he'll rise up the board just naturally because of the supply demand thing, right? I mean, that's always possible, right? For me, I have a firm second round grade on him right now with work to go here. I think that this kid is a legit top 50 player, no doubt today. Can he rise to be a first rounder? No doubt for me. I think it's possible, but I still need some of those concerns to be answered potentially. Can he win outside? That is the question I need him to answer this year.
I had a really quick thought on the receiver class before we wrap here. I think that one thing that's really interesting is the amount of guys, not only that have transferred, but there's a lot of smaller program and lower level athletes that statistically were some of the best in the country that transferred. So I'm talking about Vejante Wester from who's now at Colorado. Chris Mitchell, who's now at Notre Dame.
Yes.
Colin Lacey, who's now at Louisville. There's like a good grouping of guys that are kind of question marks that we don't totally know what they're going to be until they get to face better competition.
I mean, even I know it's not exactly what you were going for there for like a G5 moving up, but like I would even put like a Deion Burks in there, right?
Well,
like
that was why really I phrased it the way that I did, is that there were some of these guys that were at lower level P5s too that moved up.
But even a Deion Burks, who was very good at Purdue last year, I mean, you're going to have to be fighting for targets now at Oklahoma with Andrell Anthony and Nick Anderson and those dudes as well. So I'm just saying, man, it's not like a foregone conclusion that he's wide receiver one of that offense. It's not a foregone conclusion. We can do that all we want, but he's not
wide receiver one. He is the wide receiver in that offense. He's going to have an elite season. Draft him first overall. Add Joe DeLeon at Rise and Draft. Folks, thanks for tuning in. Hit the subscribe button, leave us a 5-star review, and we will talk to you later.